taking a look at the US last week, we didn't have a great deal of data, but we heard a lot from various Fed governors, including Fed Chairman Powell, who gave testimony over the Wednesday and Thursday to the House Banking Committee, both in the Congress and Senate. And just taking the data first, it's consistent with some slowing in US economic activity, but still not pronounced. So we had readings such as May existing home sales. They fell for a second consecutive month, down by 3.4% after falling by 2.6%. You'd expect to see some softness running through US housing, you know, given that longer term interest rates have been rising for some time. Those fixed rate mortgage rates are now above 5%. But right at the end of the week, we had May new home sales, and they seemed to get a second wind. So market was expecting that they would fall by 1.9% for the most recent month. They lifted very strongly by 10.7%. So it just shows you can't count the US economy down just yet. It's still showing some signs of strength in some of these indicators. We had purchasing managers' indices. These are not the ISM ones. They're coming in the next week or so. They're the more reliable ones and the more comprehensive ones. But the older style purchasing managers' indices for the month of June for the manufacturing and services sector, yeah, they peeled back, but they're still above 50. So they're still pointing to quite a deal of strength ahead. In the past, these old-style PMIs, you had to see them down in the 40s to give you some indication that you were going to get much softer growth, say, on a 12 to 15-month horizon. These are still holding above 50. And so in June, we had the manufacturing PMI was at 52.4. Yes, that was down from 57, but still relatively strong. And the services sector PMI, which was at 53.4, came down to 51.6. We'll see what happens with the ISM ones that come out over the next week or two to see if there's any confirmation of that. But the early indications are that people are expecting those to be more in the mid-50s. One leading indicator which is showing signs of weakness, quite considerable weakness, is Michigan Consumer Sentiment Survey. So the June reading, this is a final reading. We've already had a preliminary reading of this where you get about 60% of the responses coming through. This is with the 100% responses coming through for the end of the month. And it was revised down from an already soft reading of 50.2 down to 50.0. So the implication there is that the final 30-odd percent of responses were actually getting weaker as you move through. So clearly, the prospects of raising interest rates and potentially weaker growth ahead just starting to have some influence there. Now, coming round to the Fed and Powell's testimony, he's still indicating they're going to be relatively aggressive in terms of getting on top of the inflation problem. So, they did 75 basis points at their last policy meeting. He didn't discount the possibility that they could do a 1% at some point. But also, the comment coming through from many of the Fed governors is, they're going to get on top of this problem quickly if they can, and the inflation problem. And at this point, they don't expect in their forecasts that the US economy will be falling into recession. They still see that as a low probability. That was giving some comfort to markets by the end of the week. Plus also, I think, this idea that the faster they go and get it over and done with as quickly as possible, the more quickly they might get to some sort of pause in terms of interest rate hikes. So, I think this rally that's running off the back of that, it's not likely to last very long, because the problem in all of this is that the Fed still has a very large inflation problem to deal with. And as we get further down the track, we'll get more inflation readings, we'll get more indications of the size of that problem. And that is going to sort of give us quite a deal of volatility to run through that. But that's not to deny that this week could be quite optimistic in markets. But there's some risks beyond that. This week, in terms of the economic data coming through, we get a look at things like durable goods orders coming out, gives us an idea of investment spending by businesses. That still looks as if it's holding up. This is a May reading, comes out later today. Expecting that to be up around 0.1% after a 0.5% increase the month before. On Tuesday, we'll get the latest house price survey out of the US, the Case-Shiller house price survey. It's quite dated. It's an April reading. Still running very, very strong. The market expects that house prices are up 1.8% month on month, 21% year on year, not far from 21.2%, which it was back in March. We'll get consumer confidence coming out. This is the alternative survey to the consumer sentiment survey put out by the Conference Board. Slightly different set of questions and slightly more optimistic in this one than the consumer sentiment survey. It was at 106.4 going back to May, which wasn't too bad. Expected to fall to about 100.9 for this particular survey. On Wednesday, we'll get revision to Q1 GDP. Nothing significant likely out of that. It was showing minus 1.5%. That was all to do with the pullback in net exports. Domestic spending in the US is running very strongly through the number. We still expect to see that coming through in the revision. This will be the final revision for Q1. And then on Thursday, we get May personal income, personal spending data. That'll also come with an alternative inflation reading. That's the price deflators that run off personal spending. They're running more in the fives to sixes rather than the eights that you're seeing with the CPI, but still going to be pretty strong, the inflation readings that come out of those. And personal income and personal spending both likely to be up around about 0.5% each. So that's another one of those indications why the US economy is holding up quite well. Household income in the US on most recent measure is still up 11% year on year. Now, when you've got an economy which is underpinned by 11% household income growth, you have to do an awful lot to it to get it to dent. And unfortunately, that's the sort of makes it pretty problematic because the Fed may have a lot of work to do to get demand down to the levels of restricted supply, and that's basically what most central banks are trying to achieve these days. So that's where trying to gauge exactly where interest rates go in the United States is still quite a difficult task, and for the time being the Fed's going to be pretty aggressive at the various policy meetings. Right at the end of the week, we'll get the June ISM manufacturing PMI. I mentioned that relative to the old style PMIs earlier on. That one was at 56.1 going back to May. We think it will come back to around about 55. It will come back a little, but still running reasonably strongly. Moving to China, no real changes last week. They had the People's Bank of China meeting. That left their cash rate at 3.7%, same as where it was the month before. This week in China, we'll get some manufacturing PMIs, non-manufacturing PMIs coming out. Last month, there was a slight improvement running through the manufacturing PMI to 49.6. Market thinks that will come back to about 48.6 when that comes out towards the weekend. There is some talk, too, that they appear to have got on top of the Omicron outbreak in Shanghai. Wait for more information on that, but there could be some more easing of restrictions, and that obviously would be relatively positive news as and when it's announced. Moving to Australia, and last week we heard from the RBA governor a couple of times. We also had the RBA minutes, and the tenor of these are that they are looking at higher inflation in Australia than where they had it pitched going back to the monetary policy statement. The RBA governor confirmed that they're now expecting somewhere around about 7% inflation by the end of this year, and that they will continue to move up interest rates to adjust them to try and get on top of that, that they do see inflation coming back down again as they go into 2023. But he also gave quite a warning there that the task will be a lot harder if we don't get some restraint in wages. And this is almost a shot at the government. He's saying, look, you know, we really need to get around about 3.5% wage growth, which would be below the inflation rate, but that will help to contain the problem over time. So this issue of wages is just starting to show itself in the way in which the RBA is speaking at the moment. This week, what we've got coming out of Australia, we haven't got a lot. We've got retail sales data coming out for the month of May on Wednesday. At this stage, the market's looking for a 0.4% increase after a 0.9. The month before, some forecasters think it might be a bit weaker than that. May was the first month where we had an interest rate hike. It'll be interesting to see, but my suspicion is that we've still got some strength running through retail sales. So around the market consensus of 0.4 is probably about right. We get some private sector credit data coming out from the RBA later in the week on Thursday. This has been starting to show some signs of deceleration. This is the stock of credit, and you'd expect to see that moving a little bit further. It was a plus 0.8% month on month going back to April. My guess is in May would be down around about 0.6, 0.7 month on month, and leading that will be the beginnings of a downturn running through housing credit as we wander through. There'll also be some of the industry monthly housing price indexes coming out towards the end of the week, and the thinking on those is that we'll probably get around about 0.7, 0.8% month-on-month decline in house prices, continuation of the downward pressure on house prices that we've seen developing since the RBA started to lift interest rates. Europe, in Europe last week, we had consumer confidence data. It's very, very weak. It came in at minus 23.6 from minus 21.2 going back the previous month, and that implies that we have quite a deal of weakness running through in terms of consumer confidence. We also had the manufacturing and services sector PMIs came out. Slippage on these, but rather like at other places, they're holding above 50. And we had the manufacturing PMI down to 52 from 54.6. Yes, it's declining, but it's still actually a relatively strong reading. And the services sector PMI too, 52.8 from 56.1. And this is probably still a function that we've had very constrained supply all the way around the world. A lot of pressure going back from demand. And so as far as manufacturers and anybody producing anything is concerned, they're still really struggling to keep up with demand, even in places which are problematic, such as Europe at the moment with the Ukraine war. So although there's these fears of recession on the horizon, that's not exactly where things are currently. One issue with that is that central banks may have to do more damage to demand than they previously think than they currently think is likely. So that's something that bears watching as we go further down the track. This week in Europe, we'll get a reminder that their inflation rate's very high. We get the June CPI comes out on Friday, and at this stage it looks as if it went up to 8.3% from 8.1% going back the month before. Inflation is a real issue now in the sense that we're not quite sure when it's going to top out. If we went back a month or two, with some confidence, many people are saying, look, inflation is going to top out around the middle of this year and then start to show some signs of starting to decline by later this year. That's changed a lot. And the high inflation expectations are now building for longer. I don't think the market's quite caught on to this yet. In the sense of where they're pitching things in terms of what central banks may have to do. And the increasing risk is that central banks, by having to be front-load a lot of their monetary policy tightening and be relatively aggressively, actually get to the point where they break things quicker. So just watching things very, very carefully. I think we're going to have a lot of volatility in terms of market expectations in the way in which they swing towards thinking, oh, we're getting towards the end of this monetary policy tightening, then get hit by the data, then having to reassess. So quite a deal of volatility in the period ahead of us.